The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is Matthew 2, 1 to 12, which was just read. The sermon title is The Gentiles' Messiah. In our gospel lesson, we hear the story of the Magi who came to Judea in search of the newborn Jewish king. In the Western Church, we know these men as the Three Kings, or the Three Wise Men. I remember a toy creche scene that I had as a boy. The three kings in it were dressed in fine clothes, with crowns, jewels, and a couple of camels. One king looked to be Chinese, another looked to be African, and the third looked to be Persian or Arabian. And this is the American version of the Magi. The Germans have a more authentic Magi, or at least they believe they do. In 1164 AD, the Archbishop of Cologne, Reinald of Dassel, acquired the relics of the Dreikönigin, that is, three kings in German, which the Holy Roman Emperor, Frederick Barbarossa, had taken from the Basilica of Sant Eustorgio in Milan, Italy. Really, he'd stolen it. And it was important to church officials that the relics of the three kings be properly housed. Thus began a building program of a grand Gothic cathedral on the banks of the Rhine, based on the French cathedral at Amiens. Today, the Cologne Cathedral is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and is the most visited landmark in Germany, averaging over 20,000 people per day, if you can imagine that. And these cathedrals were designed to accommodate pilgrims. The most celebrated work of art in this cathedral is the Shrine of the Three Kings, which contains bones and garments. The shrine is in the form of a large reliquary. It's in the shape of a basilican church made of bronze and silver, covered all over with pure gold, figurative sculptures, enamels, and gemstones. Could this reliquary contain the remains of the three kings? The Catholic Church says it is, and millions of faithful Catholics around the world believe what the Church says about this, and that's why it gets so many pilgrims. Now, whether or not the remains of the Magi rest in Cologne, their living identity is what is really important for understanding our gospel. Martin Luther, in his sermon for this day, explains who and what the Magi really were. And I quote from his sermon here. Quote, "We do not know whether there were two or three, or how many Magi there were. Their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh indicate that they came from rich Arabia or Sheba, for all three of these are valuable in that country. Those whom the evangelist here calls Magi, in German we call wise men or wise women. These people can tell us all kinds of things. They have a secret knowledge of nature, and they engage in some strange practices. Now, this secret knowledge of nature is a good and most natural one. It is the source of everything that physicians and those like them know and describe about the powers and uses of herbs, fruits, iron, minerals, and so on. It is often referred to in Scripture when in similes the Bible mentions animals, minerals, trees, herbs, etc. This knowledge of nature was highly developed in Persia and Arabia, and these countries of the East studied it and looked upon it as honest knowledge, which produced wise people. The Magi also concentrated on stars and their courses in the heavens. Therefore, these Magi simply were what the philosophers were in Greece, the priests were in Egypt, and what the university scholars are in our country today. In short, they were the priests and scholars of rich Arabia and the lands to the east. That's in Luther's Works, Volume 52. Now, it is really a disservice to the Magi to think of them as sorcerers, fortune tellers, or practitioners of magic, as they are sometimes depicted. Luther was right. The Magi were simply the most eminent scholars of Arabia. Their workplace was the Royal Library of Arabia. It was their job to collect all sorts of knowledge from around the world, wherever they could find it. These men would have collected religious scriptures from the Jews, the Egyptians, Africans, Persians, Indians, and other peoples, because these writings often had useful, prophetic, and historical content. They would have collected texts on astronomy from the Babylonians and the Chinese, because those people were experts on those subjects. They would have collected texts on the physical sciences, geography and geometry, from the Greeks, which are the basis of the sciences that we still practice today. Now, as these Magi and their predecessors had read, translated, and discussed the texts that they collected, they would have discovered that the prophetic writings of the Old Testament, that's of the Jews, consistently and over many centuries predicted the coming of a prince to be born to the Jews. The Magi would have seen that the Old Testament prophecies predicted that this Messiah would overturn both the oppressed condition of the Jewish people, as we heard in our text today, the Old Testament, and would usher in a new world order. And this is the only way that the Magi would have known who Jesus was. They had read the Old Testament. The Old Testament told them that such a Messiah would come, to which people he would come, and in which country they would be. Now, this idea of a future Messiah, if it was just coming from the Jews, maybe would not have convinced them. But it was not unique to the Jews. As the Magi looked through their many collected religious texts, they could have found other predictions of a Messiah. Now, all the religious texts that I will now mention were written before the time of Christ, or they had teachings that had preceded the first century AD. In other words, there was a professor or teacher a while back, and then they had copied it, so they were reading it in their own life about things that were prophesied in other countries. Any one of these scriptures, or all of them, could have been in the Magi's library. Let's turn our mind first to India. In the Hindu religion of India, the scriptures known as the Puranas predict the coming of a god named Kalki, who will be born into a noble family, have 8 supernatural abilities, and bring about righteousness on the earth. They're also in India, but maybe a little southeast of there. In the Buddhist religion, the Pali canon, predicts the coming of the 5th incarnation of Buddha, known as Maitreya, who will teach about righteousness, and after being enlightened, will rule an earthly paradise. Going all the way to the east, the Taoist religion in China ancient scriptures from the Han Dynasty period predict that Li Hong will appear to rescue the chosen people and set things right in heaven and earth. The most interesting of all the ancient prophecies prior to Jesus' time is found in the Zoroastrian religion of Persia. One of their scriptures, known as the Bundashian, predict that the Sao Xiant will bring about a resurrection of the dead in the bodies that the dead had before their death. This will be followed by a last judgment, which will melt the metal in the hills and mountains, and the molten metal will then flow across the earth like a river. The river will flow down to hell, where it will annihilate the devil and the last vestiges of wickedness in the universe. It continues that the righteous will then drink of the water of life, which will confer immortality upon them. Thereafter, humankind will be like angels, without a need for food, without hunger or thirst, or any possibility of bodily injury. All humanity will speak a single language and belong to a single nation without borders. All will share a single purpose and goal, joining with God Almighty for a perpetual exaltation of God's glory. And this was the hope of the future found in the Zoroastrian religion of Persia. Now, did the Magi come to visit Jesus because they believed that the Jews had the only true religion? Well, we don't know that because the Bible doesn't say that. But they were scientists. And when they began seeing all this data pointing to the same thing, they thought, can it be? It is very likely that they visited Jesus because most of the major ancient religions predicted that a Messiah would come. And only the Old Testament was specific enough that they knew where he would come. You see, when scholars see this sort of convergence of phenomena from many different sources, they conclude that it's true. And so when Jesus' star appeared in the heavens, and they knew about that from their astronomy study, the Magi knew that the Messiah had come and that he was to be found in Judea. As we think of Jesus during the season of Epiphany, we should marvel about how Jesus' coming was predicted by many ancient religions, that God had revealed parts of his plans beforehand to the Gentiles, and that God revealed all of his plans beforehand to the Jews, and that Jesus came to offer eternal life, not just to the Jews, but to all people of the world, including you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.